Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, and we will bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, August 6th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Afternoon, Melody. I know you've had a great day. You always do.
Every day's a great day.
You know, even though, you're right. Even though some days may not go to our liking, we have to remember that God's still in charge and we're alive for a purpose, and we should look at that and not get frustrated over things that we don't think went right. I've learned that lesson. I try to make every day a good day because it's going to pass anyway.
Well, every day is a good day. Some are just better than,
Yep, I agree.
Just better than the better day.
I totally agree.
So there you go. See, I am positive and an optimist.
So your glass is half full. All right.
Yeah, always. Always.
All right.
You'd never know it, but it is. Hey, gold today, its glass was half full. 2310, New York spot price aftermarket, 2063.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. 2063? Woohoo! I love it. Wow, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just love that.
But it's off the high of 2070. Silver is up another 7%. 2890, up $1.85. Platinum is up 3%, 3.25, $31 at 1,003. Palladium was up $37 at 2270. That's 2,270. I haven't had a chance to follow the paper markets today. The dollar it broke down through 93. We talked about that. And it's up 0.02, so that's at 92.83, and I think the paper markets were all positive today too. Just didn't have a chance to follow. We did a lot of shipping today. The Dow is up 185 points at 27,387. The NASDAQ is up 109 at 11,108. The S&P was up 21 at 3,349. 10-year yield 0.54. I can't even point to, it's just, we know what's going on. We have Treasury ramps up auctions as borrowing surges. We have, I think an important headline here is Butch, farmers declare bankruptcy despite record levels of aid.
Yes.
We still have new claims over 1 million. Lord knows what the jobs report will be tomorrow. We'll see if they have a miscalculations note at the bottom of the report, because we know the one before was wrong, but they released it and ran with it. So it's really interesting that you see all of these major important things, and it's just not in the financial markets, Butch. The misery ranking is going to show the USA is getting worse versus the rest of the world. That's pretty much
true.
Been consistent.
Very
and
true.
We'll touch on some of these topics, during the program. But you don't hear anybody addressing the problem with a solution.
Well, I can't, and I do understand, I guess, but the market keeps climbing. We're going further in debt. Gold and silver are climbing. That shouldn't all be all together. It used to be when the market went down, gold and silver went up. The market's climbing, gold and silver still going up. And we're going further in debt every day. Something is not registering true. And I'm pretty sure it's the market.
I can remember heading into the Great Recession of 2008, talking with Bob Chapman, and there was a time before the market broke and the Dow went down to 6,000. We had a similar period of time when the when gold was going up at the same time as the stock market. Now, it could be inflationary, it could be many things. We know now that the stock market is being propped up by the Federal Reserve. I mean, they're buying corporate debt. They have so many different programs out there to keep this system afloat. And last week, and why wouldn't you? I said this before this week. Why wouldn't the stock market go up? You have the Federal Reserve coming out last week saying, hey, what you need, we got. We're here. Anytime you need, you know, we'll make sure that we'll continue with all the quantitative easing programs that we have. So why wouldn't the stock market go up? But there was a time in 2008 when gold was following the stock market to the upside, and then it reversed, and gold kept going, and the Dow broke. So is it the same thing? I don't know. I think it's a little different this time because of the Federal Reserve and the number of programs. The last time Federal Reserve didn't get involved until the system broke. This time, they're keeping it from trying to break. So,
well, you know, I'm looking at different things here, and I'm amazed at what I see. Now, this is from the U.S. Mint, and according to the price here, several Eagles are going for $64.50 at American Eagle 2021 ounce silver proof coin.
That's a proof.
Now, I mean, $64.50? Isn't that a bit high? Even silver at $29 almost?
But that's a proof coin.
Well, I understand that, but still, isn't that still not a bit high? I just don't know. I'm just asking you, so I'm asking.
Well, silver's almost $30.
I know, but $60
silver
for a
Eagles
coin?
Silver Eagles sell for $38, $39, so really? No?
Wow, that's amazing. Well, you know, silver, as we know, according to what I got here, that silver has been kind of undervalued compared to gold, but it's going to go up pretty quickly, I do believe. Silver's not even reached its record yet. We're a long ways from record yet. $50, so I guess, about the record. So it's been underpriced for a long time. But back in June, silver was $18 an ounce. So think about that. So it's gained how much since June?
$18 an ounce. March and April, it was 12.
So, yeah, this is what I'm saying. So, my gosh, people, it's went up three times in price. $36 or better now an ounce. I mean, for an Eagle, I should say. But for up there from $12 to $28 or whatever you said it was per ounce now, this is amazing. Silver is really a good thing to invest in right now. I know gold has got a lot of pluses. But I like the idea of the silver because a lot of times folks can't afford ounces of gold. They can afford some silver. Now, do you recommend, now today even, do you recommend any silver, junk silver, or any silver? Do you recommend that as a good investment, or do you recommend something a little different in silver?
I recommend what has the fastest delivery.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. And Silver Eagles is not it, right?
Well, I mean, it just really depends on the person and what's suitable for them. And that's the way we do it. It's what's suitable. Not everybody fits into that square peg. So we do what's suitable. I listen to people and what they're trying to accomplish and what they have to invest and what they already have purchased in gold and silver. That's what makes us different. We don't slam everybody into something just because it's easy and we make the most money on it.
No, you don't.
So, I mean, no, we do, and that's what I tell people. And there's folks out there who say the only product you want is a Silver Eagle and a Gold Eagle in case they confiscate. Well, I disagree with that.
I do too.
It's certain things. Gold is gold and silver is silver. And I still have to go back to the 33 confiscation where it was coins of rare and unusual value that was not confiscated. Well, gold bullion coins are not rare and unusual. American gold eagles are not rare and unusual. So, you know, anything can happen in the future. But we still have to base our decisions on things that happened in the past to some degree. So
I agree. Yes, I agree.
Because no one has a crystal ball into the future on how this is. There has been no country that has done what we have done as a nation. What they have done to this country and placed us in the position that we're in. Sure, we look at other countries where their currencies have been, you know, corrupted and devalued, and, you know, they ushered in new currencies. That has happened before. But not to a nation like America. So, and where everybody is so, we haven't had a bad day in how long?
Yes. And that's really put a hurting on us. We become spoiled and accustomed to having too easy. And now we really have.
Spoiled brats.
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. We are. And we become cocky with it, thinking it can never happen here.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a fact.
But we became a gimme nation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's... We got ourselves being that gimme attitude to point this price down to an ease economically, too. And all these bailouts coming out now for everybody, it's making it even worse. People are going to start thinking that they deserve the money. Well, they're not going to start. They already do. They deserve the money, but they're working on it anymore. So that's coming to America, and it's bringing us down into a totally socialist nation. That's us today. But what was... Did you hear what the New York Attorney General was... he was going to make an announcement. I guess it's a lady... Latita James is going to make an announcement today at 11:30. It was going to a major national announcement. Have you heard what that was all about?
I do.
What happened?
You don't know?
No,
or
no.
Or you want me...
Yeah, if you don't mind telling us, I don't know.
She's taking on the NRA.
Oh, that's what you're talking about. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I did see that, but I wasn't sure. Okay.
Yeah, she's trying to break up the NRA, alleging financial mismanagement. Well, you know what? If they go after the NRA, they need to go after... every foundation, like Clinton and all of them, the Obama's foundation, all of them, all these multinational corporations. Of course, these are nonprofits, so they have to. So I guess that makes it a little bit different. But they should investigate all nonprofits.
I totally agree.
Because I'll guarantee you, you're going to find the same thing with them all, with many.
Well.
Particularly start with, well, I don't know if the Clinton Foundation exists anymore, but
you don't like to think that any of them would be dishonest. Obviously, that's being naive, and especially when you think that are doing some good works like the NRA, you don't want to think they'd be dishonest. You know, more than most of them. But again, that's being naive. I pray they're not, that they haven't done anything dishonest, and I pray this will blow over and she'll be proven to be an idiot. But I don't know that.
Well, I think the NRA always had a reputation. But the thing of it is, they did do us good. They were able to go in there and fight for us. They didn't always do everything right, but who does? And yeah, they have a lot of flaws. But what else do we have?
Yeah. I agree.
So, I mean, they were... But it's... You know, so, yeah, we do support that. But I'll also tell you something. I think this just got Trump elected.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. If they really pursue this, I think that is a big deal, because everybody knows. I mean, we need the NRA. And I don't know what happens. I can't imagine that they'd be able to break it up.
Well, the NRA and the GOA are two of the premier, of course, gun rights advocates. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're right, because a lot of gun owners are going to go up and get in the air about that. And they should. Absolutely should.
So in that respect, I think it's, you know, and... But I'm a little... I don't know if I haven't seen it, but I would have liked to have seen some sort of a tweet from President Trump about this.
Well, he should be saying something. Time will tell, I guess. I don't know. He should be saying
something. Well, he usually reacts pretty quickly on everything.
Yeah, he does. So time will tell. You know, on a worldwide basis, you probably saw this, but Yi Jinping tells Chinese military prepare for war. Is it? And it says it against India, U.S. or Taiwan. And that this is coming across different sources, so it's really happening. The Chinese President Jinping asked the PLA to prepare for war. Is necessary to step up preparation for armed combat. This follows the decision to increase the budget for the Chinese military by $178 billion. So China supposedly is doing some saber rattling and warning the United States not to put certain assets in certain places close to where they are. Again, another unstable region, and who knows what could happen. So with all this tying together, with all the attacks we're seeing, Melody, all the insanity we're seeing with finances, attacks on the NRA, attacks on people that won't wear masks, attacks on all these issues, unemployment, all these things adding up, and now another hotspot for a possible war. I don't know how people cannot be a little bit concerned on what's happening and wonder what the future holds, because there's so much going on at one time. All this smoke, there's got to be some fire somewhere. Do you agree?
You'd think. I it's a lot of flexing of muscles, I guess.
It sure is. It sure is.
And eventually someone executes one of those muscles. I don't know. But I don't know. It's... I mean... Trump says that, you know, he thinks that the explosion in Lebanon wasn't an attack.
Was or wasn't?
Was.
Was an attack. From who?
Well, that's, no one knows yet. But that's what he's saying. He's thinking that it wasn't an attack. If it was an attack, you'd think it'd be Israel because of the Hezbollah in there. And
sure.
Their desire to eliminate them. You know, but, you know, what's interesting is, I don't know when exactly that day is. Japan marks the 75th anniversary of the Hiroshima atomic bomb.
Yeah, it does.
And it's just, when you see pictures of that, it's just...
Well, it's, you know, it was a time in history that we should be ashamed of in a lot of ways. But it just certainly opened up a whole new vision for the coming world, and it should make people be, should scare people back into doing what's right. But unfortunately, it hasn't. It just hasn't happened that way. So anyway, it's springtime already.
We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And we're just going to go on. We're talking about war. Everybody's beating the war drums. And here was kind of something interesting that happened today. President Trump to sign executive order requiring government to buy essential drugs from U.S. companies. So
Central drugs?
I don't know what essential drugs would be from U.S. companies. There aren't that many U.S. companies that make drugs. So I don't know.
Kinda
the
curious.
Order will require the government to develop a list of essential medicines and buy them, as well as medical supplies, from U.S. companies instead of from foreign countries like China. So I guess it means if they need more medical supplies like masks and gloves and goggles and ventilators, they got to buy them from U.S. companies. So my question is, if your U.S. company can't supply it and you can't buy it someplace else, just like, you know, the governor of Maryland, he couldn't get any testing equipment, so he went to South Korea to buy the testing for COVID. So you just go without?
Good point.
So I'm not quite sure how good of a thing that would be. So anyway,
it's a nice idea. They should have done it 30 years ago.
They should have prevented them from moving. And
I agree.
And I think what they should do is put limits on what they can import.
Totally agree. And, you know, talking about things out of kilter, I thought this is kind of amusing in a way. Andrew Cuomo begs rich hedge funders fleeing New York City, please come back. Says, well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez pushes for a first-in-the-nation wealth tax that most reasonable people fear would destroy the state's tax base by driving the billionaires and multimillionaires who finance more than half the state budget to leave. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is begging the rich people to please come back to New York City. During a briefing earlier this week, Cuomo shared an amusing anecdote with reporters as he tried to illustrate the importance of retaining wealthy taxpayers during a period of fiscal crisis. So remember, New York is seeking $60 billion in federal money to plug a gaping hole in the budget. Cuomo said that he had been calling up wealthy New Yorkers and asking them to please return to the city from their second homes out in the Hamptons or Palm Beach or Greenwich. I literally talked to the people all day long who are now in their Hamptons house who also lived here, or in their Hudson Valley house, or in their Connecticut weekend house, and I say, you got to come back. We'll go to dinner. I'll buy you a drink. Come over. I'll cook, Cuomo says. Unfortunately, a personal overture from one of the country's most recognizable governors in many cases simply isn't enough to convince rich people to return to a city where crime has just skyrocketed to levels unseen since the 1990s, rattling even the ultra-wealthy neighborhoods like the Upper East Side. So it's come to the point that the governor's begging to come back home, Melody. We can't afford to live without you. Oh, my goodness.
I bet he has a nice mansion. Do you think he'll share it?
I don't expect he will at all. But he invites us over to dinner, you know. Maybe we should take him up on that.
Maybe.
Go up, knock on his door and say, we're here. Anyway, but he's begging people come back to the city. How sad is that? that the governor is begging people, don't leave the city. We can't afford to live without you. Literally can't afford for you to go. We need for you to stay here and pay your taxes. Now, how telling is that, and how sad is that?
It is pretty sad.
It is. It is. And I just, we're laughing about it, but it's really not funny, because I don't know if any time in history this has happened anywhere in this country, that the governor is begging people to come back to the city to help support the city. That is really unbelievable. Unbelievable. It really is. And you were talking about jobless claims. This article, ahead of big job numbers, initial continuing claims offers positive surprise. This article is kind of a mixed bag here. The initial jobless claims was above a million last week for the 20th straight week, but after two straight weeks of rising, fell last week from 1.435 million last week to just 1.186 million. Just over one million people, just over that. New Americans signing up for the jobless claims for the first time. Following yesterday's plunge in ADP payrolls, continuing jobless claims confounded and fell after rising last week for the first time in 8 weeks. A total of 55.31 million Americans have now applied for jobless benefits for the first time since the pandemic lockdown began. Now think about it, folks. That's 55.31 million people. Out of 330 million people, probably only about a third of them are working. Think about that. And it's massively more than the 22.1 million during the great financial crisis of 2008. However, as Michael Snyder detailed previously, under the surface of these numbers, things are far from rosy looking forward. When millions of Americans were losing their jobs at the beginning of this pandemic, we were told not to worry because the lockdowns were just temporary, and virtually all of those workers would be going back to work to their old jobs once the lockdown ended. Well, now we are finding out that that was not even close to true. Over the last 18 months, more than 52 million Americans have filed new claims for unemployment benefits, and a very large percentage of them are dealing with a permanent job loss. In fact, one brand new survey discovered that 47% of all unemployed workers now believe that their job loss is likely to be permanent. The following comes from the USA Today article entitled, Almost Half of All Jobs Lost During Pandemic may be Gone Permanently. In April, 70% of those in households experiencing job loss felt that the situation would be temporary. But now 47% of them think the job loss is permanent. But that number tells us that we are facing the worst unemployment crisis since the Great Depression of the 1930s. I'd say, yeah. And we got a lot more population today with a lot less people willing to work in the first place. A welfare system has been running this country for a long time. There was no welfare system back in the 1930s. But that's what we're running on today. Credit from printed money, paper money, fiat currency, or computer digits. We never had this in 1930, Melody. Yes, it was tough. But people were still willing to go out and try to make it on their own. Today, they'll suck off the system all that they can. You know that.
Well, the people in the back in the olden days, they were tough.
Yes. They were independent.
It hurt.
They were resourceful.
They were. I mean, it was still painful for them. I mean, and this is just what I believe. But I think when I think of my grandparents, I think how tough they were and what they weathered and how they lived their lives. And they never went into debt. Oh, my gosh. Debt was a nasty word.
I agree.
If they didn't have it, they didn't get it.
I know my grandpa built his house where my brother lives now, which is about ready to get teared down. It's getting old, it's falling down. But he built it a piece at a time. Now, I wasn't born then, of course. It's been back when Dad was born in 24. But during the Great Depression, said Grandpa built on the house when he could with what he had. And the house was built out of rough lumber. And instead of putting two boards in a wall every 24 inches or whatever they would do normally, he made an X out of two boards to try to hold the ceiling up. He didn't have any money. He built as cheaply as he possibly could, but they were not in debt. Dad said that we didn't owe anybody anything. What we had was paid for. But they could barely afford to put food on the table from time to time. They raised most of the food. So yes, Melody, they had more sense than we do today. Most Americans today are so used to living a good life, they went in debt to buy whatever, new cars, new homes, new boats, whatever it may be. Both husband and wife both working, and they still couldn't make it barely. Now they're both out of work. What are they going to do now? Especially now since they found out, according to some tax preparers, that the extra money they've been getting with the $600 extra a week they've been getting, they're probably going to pay tax on that.
I know.
I thought that was going to be something tax-free, but apparently not.
So I think the $1,200 that they sent out was tax-free.
Oh, wow, that's going to put a hurt on a lot of people who didn't know, and you know they didn't withhold taxes out of it. Well, how could they? It's sent to them, you know, automatically. I mean, who's going to hold taxes out? I mean, the unemployment office doesn't hold taxes out. So it's kind of up to them to say, you know, this got to be taxed, put it back into account so I can pay it. But no one did that. I'm certain 99% of them never thought about that.
No.
So if they can't pay the bills now, end up on tax in a year, what's going to happen? These are things that we don't look forward to. We don't look forward enough to see that this is what's happening. This is going to hurt a lot of people and probably make a lot of them mad. But now this next bailout, if it gets through, I mean, Pelosi wants 3-point-something billion again, a trillion again, and the Republicans say no. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the future is going to hold on this. But the gravy train will come to an end. It will come to an end. And then where are people going to go? When they can't afford to pay their payments for the cars, their homes, what are they going to do? I was talking to Judy. Judy works in the office here with us on Thursdays. She was saying that I call it Fat Burger. You know, the really cheap burger at Walmart is $4.50 a pound, Melanie. And that's cheap stuff with fat in it. Mm-hmm. $4.50 a pound. And I can remember when that was 10 cents a pound. That's how old I am, I guess. But $4.50 a pound. That is absolutely ridiculous. But that's what it is. I'm not trying to make people feel bad or scared, but I'm trying to tell them the truth. If you're a realist, you're going to see prices going up. And if you can't hardly make it now, what are you going to do when they really go up? When inflation really hits us, like it does and it has in other countries all over the world, when inflation is 50% or better, how are you going to make it then? People, get out of debt as fast as you possibly can. Do something, put some funds back to cover yourself when things get really nasty. I don't know what the future holds. I'm not a prophet. But I do what the Bible says. I know the financial America has been falling on its face for a long time. And what we face in the future now with all this insanity. Bitcoin today, Bitcoin's going through the roof, Melody. Bitcoin is going through the roof. And I mean, we're talking about millions of dollars per coin. I don't get it. It's nothing but a digital computer. Is a dollar so worthless that a digital computer is worth more than a paper dollar?
Bitcoin is 11,800.
Yeah. And it started out at point something fraction of a penny. We're talking about million. If you had 200 of them, you're
multiplying. It's just a Ponzi scheme, though, because it needs the new it needs the money in there to make it go up. I mean, it is nothing. But you know, what this does tell me, though, as you see the Bitcoin price going up, because a lot of people have been conned into thinking that it's a safe haven. Well, it isn't a safe haven. We saw what happened to it when the stock market crashed in March. So did it. But people think it's a safe haven. They think they have privacy. They think they have something that government can't follow them. They think that, you know, it's better than cash, and they think it's better than gold. But one day they will learn that it isn't better than gold. Bitcoin, and that's why you're seeing these numbers go up. Bitcoin isn't a safe haven. Not by any means. It's not going to protect you against inflation. It isn't money. It's digits. How can you measure wealth against Bitcoin?
Good point.
You can't. And it's, you know, hey, and the funny thing or sad thing, however you want to look at it, these numbers, how many selling? How many people are selling? It's going to 20,000. I'm going to wait. That's what happened the last time, and then it took a dive from what 15 to 3 or something like that, and everybody lost. So, and that's what happens. That's what happens to silver. People don't have a strike price because you always think it's going to go up, and then it does fall back a little bit, and then you're conned into thinking that oh, it's going to go back up. Because even there's no fundamentals there to support it. So it's just somebody telling you that it's going to go back up. So you hold, and then it drops a little more. Then it drops a little more, and you're still being told it's going to go back. And the next thing you know, you're back to a level where either you won't or you can't sell because you've lost so much. Then you wait for the next run, and then you get caught up into it again. It's just human nature, I guess, Butch. And that's what they count on. That's how they market these programs. It's a strategy that they use. That's how they throw out the line and hook you and bring you in and keep you.
Yeah. I understand that. I do. And yeah. I would like to ask a question along with the silver and gold situation. This has been on my mind. I know I could ask you. You have an answer. I'm sure people are thinking about this too. If silver continues to go up to a point, this has about $50 an ounce, where the record high was before. Would you be wiser then at that point to sell some silver and buy gold? Would that be a wise move?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. So if silver goes up to $50 an ounce, you sell a few hundred silver dollars, whatever, eagles, and then put it in gold. That'd be
Absolutely.
A wise move then. Okay.
Absolutely.
That's a
good.
But
you know what's going to happen, Butch? Same thing's going to happen. Silver's going higher. All the experts are saying silver's going higher. And I don't tell people to sell all your silver. You convert some, a third, or half. You know, that's all. So if it does go higher, you ride it. And if it goes lower, you converted it to gold, and you're protected.
Well, if it goes higher,
gold won't go down. Gold, you know, people talk about silver outdoing gold on the upside, but they never talk about gold won't go down as much as silver either.
That's true. But if you hang on to it, like I said, that cash didn't get gold, you've won either way. If you keep some silver left, if you keep some up, you're going to win if it goes up.
Absolutely.
If it goes down, you haven't lost anything, but you got in gold now.
And I don't believe in just trading to trade. You have to trade when it makes sense.
Yes. That's why I asked you about the $50 now. It's a good time to trade, maybe.
And you don't trade gold for silver.
Vice versa.
Yeah. The only time you should ever trade gold for silver is if you have 100% gold and you want a little silver. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, it does. Well, I'm glad you told me that.
But you don't empty out your gold portfolio to buy silver because someone's telling you that it's going to outperform gold. So, and
I'm
you'd be surprised how many calls I get. Huh?
I'm glad you told me that because that was a question I had. And when it gets a certain price, I'm going to talk to you and say, Melody, I want to swap for some gold. I'm going to do that. So,
as long as there's gold there to do it.
You tell me when it's wise, when it's time to do it, and I'll take your word for it. Because I want to do the best investment I can, not just myself, but if time goes on and life goes on, I'd like to leave my son something of value. I really would.
Well, we're going to leave and go into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. So,
well, I'm going to share one now from Rand Paul, but I want to tell the folks this. Folks, you see why I talked to Melody. I had a simple question. It's been on my mind for a couple of weeks. I kept forgetting to ask it about silver and selling in to buy some gold. Of course, I realized by then gold's going to be higher priced, but still moving to something that's more reliable than silver. And that's what I intend to do. And Melody will tell you the truth, just like she did with me. So it was straight up front. Yep, that's a good move. That's about as straightforward as you're going to get it. So please pay attention to Melody. Of all the dealers that you may talk to, I would trust her above any of them. And that's for sure. But Rand Paul said something, Melody, that really, really is true. Republicans should apologize to Obama for complaining about spending. You remember when the Republicans used to complain because the Democrats spent money? Remember that?
Oh, I know.
Oh, wow, we got to put a cap on the spending. We're going bankrupt. Oh, gosh, what a bunch of hypocrites. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky touring his fellow Republicans on Fox News Wednesday for considering a coronavirus relief package that could cost more than $1 trillion, calling on them to apologize to President Obama for complaining that he was spending and borrowing too much during his time in office. Why it matters, Paul's comments, while tongue-in-cheek, underscore the divisions within the Senate Republican Conference, where as many as 20 GOP senators are likely to vote against any coronavirus relief bill, even if a deal is reached between Democrats and the Trump administration. The state of play, says House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, said Tuesday that she's willing to settle for a price tag of $3.4 trillion. She's willing to settle for $3.4 trillion, which is the cost of the relief package that the House Democrats passed in May. While House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said Wednesday that he's extremely doubtful the two sides will reach a deal if negotiations continue past Friday. What they're saying is Republicans and Democrats can compromise every day of the year to spend money we don't have. Now, let me repeat that. Republicans and Democrats compromise every day of the year to spend money we don't have. We're already running $1 trillion short just with our normal budgetary expenses for the year. We had $3 trillion now. $3 trillion now they're talking about adding $1 to $2 trillion. We're going to borrow another $5 trillion in 5 months, Paul told Fox News. They might lose this election because they're acting like Democrats now. I am very upset with my colleagues. They went 8 years. They should apologize now to President Obama for complaining he was spending and borrowing too much. He was a piker compared to their borrowing and what they're doing now. And that's very, very, very true. A bunch of hypocrites. But you know, they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place, Melody. If they don't bail people out, they're going to be ticked. And if they spend too much, they're going to be ticked. So that's kind of a catch-22, is it not?
You know, it really is. And you don't hear anybody whispering anything. I mean, it's just, it really is amazing how there are, what, maybe three or four Republican politicians up there, senators or congressmen or whatever, and that ever get interviewed. Everybody else is just hush, hush. Mum is the word. And it's really amazing that nobody is. And Ron Paul, is he up for election? Is the only reason he's probably.
I mean, Rand Paul.
Rand Paul.
Yeah.
Is probably the only reason why he's making this statement. And the headline alone would make everybody read it. So, yeah, it's amazing.
Well, you know, I know for a fact, because I have information and pictures of all these together. We have Obama with Trump and with Clinton and the Bushes, all of them holding hands, kind of hugging each other. They're all the same people. They're coming out of the same pool. One's Republican, one's Democrat. I know people want to hear this. I mean, I get people mad at me because I say Trump has not changed anything to speak of. Now, I cannot say he did not do a few things I agree with. I didn't say that. But overall, and I mean overall, at least 80%, 85% of the time, he's done nothing to change this country for the better. Yes, I know he's been under attack. I know with the Russiagate and all the other things happened to him, and then, of course, the taxes and on and on and on. He's been under attack. I realize that. But for 2 years, he had both houses supposedly in the palm of his hands, and nothing changed. He didn't drain the swamp. He added to the swamp. He had some pretty good guys with him when he first started out that maybe had a chance of changing some things. But he got rid of them and put the same swamp rats back in that were in with other administrations, with Bush and Obama and all of them. He didn't do anything to compromise into where he is today. And I get angry, I really don't care. If you're mad, you're mad. That's all I can say. I'm not trying to make you angry. I'm telling you the truth. Are things better now than they were under Obama financially? Or even morally, as far as that goes. Has a whole lot changed? No. Is America great again? No. It is not. It's worse off than it was under Obama in the sense of a financial situation anyway. And morally, I can't see much difference either. So there you go. I laid on the line. Get mad if you want to. Don't ever call me Michigan. It's up to you. But we're kidding ourselves, Melody, when we think things are turning around just because Trump's in office. We're actually kidding ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves into believing a lie is what we're doing. And you say, well, who are you going to vote for come election? I'm not voting for Biden or Trump, either one. You say, well, that's not, no. Listen, people, I'm not going to do that. I will not vote for what I think is lesser of two evils. Because Christ told me that a little leaven, a little evil, makes a whole lump evil. So I'm not compromising more on good and evil. If I know a man is evil, I'll not vote for him, but I don't care if he's a lesser of two evils. That's my conviction. I think biblically I can make that stand. You do what you think is best. But I ask you, if you're any age at all, if you're over 40 years old, look back over your lifetime and tell me which administration actually made things better for us, morally, financially, and united us even closer. Which one in your lifetime, 40 years old and older, which one united us stronger as a country, made us better in every way? The answer. Reagan put us further in debt than anybody in history up to his time. So let's not go back to Reagan and say, well, he didn't. No. Reagan was a politician and a good one because he was an actor.
Yep.
That's where we are. So, Melody, that's my little speech for today. No charge.
You go, Butch.
Well, Melody, it's common sense and it's common knowledge. If I couldn't see the results of all this, I couldn't speak on them. But I lived through these times. I'm not speaking to somebody who just got on the scene yesterday. I've lived through several administrations. And I can honestly say in my lifetime, not one administration made this nation stronger morally or made us more free or didn't put us further in debt. Not one. Some maybe a little less than others, but a little leaven with a whole lump. You know what a plumb line is, right, Melody?
I do. Yes, I do.
Okay. If you got a plumb line and you start off right on the mark to begin with, but a yard down the wall in the house, would say, you got off a quarter of an inch. By the time you get down to the 60 feet down the wall, you're off a foot or more. The plumb line demands you stay exactly on line to maintain what you want. Well, every administration gets off plumb line just a little bit further, some less and some more, but a little further, and look where we are today. We're nowhere near the foundation the nation once had. Nowhere near it. And we'll never get back to it. The change is permanent. And it's going to get worse. Now, I'll shut up and go on.
Well, I agree with you. And it's, you know, what do we need to do to change things? I think everybody knows, and I don't want to go down that road in this program today. But I don't think we're that far away, and I'm not so sure that's even going to happen, because we are so divided, and I'm just not sure how is it going to be. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, Butch. I mean, I'm certainly going to believe that. Pardon?
I want to believe it's going to get better, but I don't see evidence of that yet.
I don't either.
I truly don't. You know, and we're watching the interest rates on homes, for example. New record lows interest rates, but the houses selling is actually still slowing down, new buyers. People are having a hard time getting into the first home, though interest rate ratio less than 3%, they're having a hard time getting into a home. So that does tell you something about finances in the country. Less than 3% interest rates, people have a hard time getting into a home. So that ought to tell us something that, you know, it's sad. It says refinance applications dropped 7% last week, but remained 84% higher than the same period a year ago. So we're seeing people trying to refinance their homes, trying to hang in there, but it's not working. It just isn't working. But they went too far down the wrong way. Now, and I want you to know that Trump and Pelosi see all these problems and they're going to fix it. But they had something more important to do first. Trump said he wants to have his inauguration and nomination on the White House lawn. And Pelosi says he can't do it, it won't happen. Now, I want you to know how important that is, that we have the Speaker of the House and the President fighting over where to hold a speech for to accept the nomination. Now,
that's absurd. Is
more important than anything I think of. I tell you, it's absurd.
It's absurd.
Why can't we teach our children to get along? You know what I'm saying? And she's saying that, listen to that, I got to find out if I can find it real quickly. He's making the White House a political thing. And I thought, what? The White House is the most political... the most political thing in the whole nation. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It says Trump has used federal property as a political backdrop for himself before. Folks, this is absolutely insane. The nation is literally going to hell financially in every other way, and they're fighting over to where Trump can accept the nomination. Oh, Melody, this is insane. Really insane. And it breaks my heart to see it happening.
I know. I don't know. I don't even have any thoughts one way or another on that, except that the whole thing is stupid. And
I mean, they're fighting over where they're going to hold the nomination speech. I mean, like this is so important. Pelosi said it won't happen. He can't do that. I bet he can do it if he wants to. But that, I mean...
I don't know if it's proper.
I don't know what to say. I don't either.
I don't know
but
if it's proper.
For them to fight over this, as if this is something that's going to change the world status.
I know, but that was a classic when she says it was too political, and I'm thinking, huh? You have all these meetings in there with all these multinational corporations mixing government with business on a daily basis, and nobody says anything about that?
I don't know how to even answer that. I just don't know. I just sat back and looked at this. I think this is
like
these
getting
are childish
a commission
beyond words.
Yeah, like getting a commission for Microsoft buying TikTok for the government. Nobody says anything about that.
I don't know, but you know how important that must be for them, though. They have to take it out over everything else, you know. And I guess you saw this, too, that the mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti, says that the DWP will shut off water and power at homes that throw large parties.
Yeah.
Folks, you hear that? If your party is too big and they don't like it, they're going to shut off your water and power. Isn't that wonderful, living in a free country? We need to fight over where Trump holds his acceptance speech. Forget this tyranny right here. We need to do something very important, like make Trump not have it on the White House lawn. This is America today, and you wonder why sometimes I just shake my head and think, what's the use? And the acting head of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf, said that his former clients received millions of dollars in department contracts. What's up with that? I mean, $160 million in contracts from DHS for his former clients. But now, more important than that, is Trump having his speech at the White House lawn. Do you follow the point you're trying to make here, Melody?
I am.
I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand how we got to be so screwed up in our values, our priorities, I mean, mayor is shutting off the electricity to homes if people have parties. I mean, this is going on, and they're going to fight over Trump where Trump holds his speech.
Well, I think California was that. I think it was the state that had where that one neighborhood had a party, and there was like 300 people. they were busing in people because people couldn't park their cars. It was just a regular residential house. It wasn't a mansion. It wasn't anything like that. The house was probably maybe 3,000 square feet, if that much. And they had 300 people.
Well, and on another case, a Turkish lira broke a
taking
record. It dropped below a record. I mean, Turkey is in a huge mess. I mean, the lira crisis below records, even though with the draconian Plan Z measures, where it effectively nationalized the FX market, the world's rejecting Turkish lira. So Turkey is going under also financially, along with many other nations. Eventually and inevitably, we'll be hearing that in our country. It's coming here. The dollar will drop to record lows. Inflation will eat us alive. It's coming to American people. I'm just telling you that with a care. A nation that forgets God turned into hell, Psalms 9:17. We just will expect that. It's here. It's coming. But don't worry about it. Pelosi will not let Trump hold his speech on the White House lawn.
Amazing. 800-375-4188. Get ready, folks. Buckle up and give us a call. 800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.